Hello, hello, and welcome to yet another episode of Power Up and Game. This is episode 21, and I am your host, Michael Mosley. And I am joined once again by our official, unofficial third member, Taylor. Taylor, how you doing?
I am doing pretty well, man. We are recording our second episode of Power Up and Game this week because it's been a hectic schedule for this podcast, but overall, I'm excited to talk some more video game news with you here, man.
Awesome, and we do have some pretty cool stuff. We're going to keep it a little short here because we are doing our second episode this week, and we are just going to go ahead and get right into what's on the docket for today. In this episode, according to a recent leak, Call of Duty Warzone 2 may be dropping this November. A new batch of Xbox Game Pass titles have been revealed, along with some games that will be leaving the service, sadly. A recent data leak suggested that Marvel Spider-Man once had some kind of multiplayer mode. Even after its delay, Hogwarts Legacy is going to be featured at Opening Night Live. Speaking of Opening Night Live, that is our main topic of this episode. We'll be sharing our predictions for the event. So getting right into it, our stories of the week. But real quick, we want to say that you can find every source for all the topics we're going over today down in the description in this episode. We do that to give out proper credit, and if any listeners want to read further about the topics we cover and simply want to check it out for themselves. So getting to our stories of the week, Warzone 2's release date has been potentially leaked. An alleged Eternal document from Activision has been posted to the Reddit Classic WoW subreddit earlier this week. What makes this Eternal document so interesting? Well, it potentially reveals the November 16th release date for Warzone 2. And it seems that Charlie Intel, I actually got that right, was the first to report on this. We'll leave a link in their tweet showing the images of the description. As always with rumors, be sure to take the whole story with a healthy amount of salt. And if you're American, there's no such thing as a healthy amount. Call of Duty has been in the headlines a lot lately, including being one of the subjects in the whole Xbox PlayStation kerfuffle weeks ago, and yet another plagiarism accusation over Warzone skin designs. Activision also revealed that those who digitally pre-order Modern Warfare 2 would get access to the campaign a week early. So Taylor, do you have any thoughts on Warzone 2 possibly releasing on November 16th? And also, any thoughts on the recent headlines involving Call of Duty recently?
All right, so getting the... I thought it was worth us talking about it because this is the... Might have been the second or third time I think it's happened with accusations of plagiarism over a new skin design in Warzone or a Call of Duty title. So I thought it was worth us mentioning here. I'm very interested to see where those accusations end up, because that's a pretty big deal. But moving on to the Warzone 2 and the Modern Warfare 2 stories, because I find them both interesting for the same reason. If this report's accurate, and if that document is also accurate, I kind of really like the release a slate, I guess, for Modern Warfare 2, because it seems like Infinity Ward and Activision Blizzard want people to play the campaign and get out of the way by the time the game officially launches. So having that digital pre-order, you can play the campaign up to a week early. I think that's a great call, because when the game releases, you already beat the campaign possibly. You can jump right into multiplayer, level up those weapons, and possibly, about 3 weeks later, I want to say, play Warzone 2, or Warzone 2.0, whatever it ends up being called. But I really like that release slate. It reminds me a little bit of the Grand Theft Auto 5 and GTA Online strategy, and also I think Red Dead Redemption 2 did this with Red Dead Online. But what do you think about this, Michael?
I don't think anything is going to come out of that whole plagiarism thing.
I don't think so either, to be honest with you. Although I said that at the beginning, I was just like, well, it's a big corporation. Usually these things, here's the accusation of it. It picks up a little bit of steam after it's reported on, and then everybody forgets about it.
Yeah. I like the idea of the single player, because nobody is harmed by that, you know? I could see if it was, like, the multiplayer a week earlier. Now, that would be bad, because, like, come on, man. You don't want people to be, like, completely locked out and going up and being matchmate with people who's been out there for a week early. So I'm completely down with the whole, you get the campaign a week early. I'm actually excited for Modern Warfare 2. I'm excited for Warzone 2. I think it will be called 2.0. You know, they love doing stuff like that. They're going to find some marketing reason for it. But the idea that Warzone 2 has come out November 16th, that's a little early. I didn't think it would be here that soon, because I know it's separated.
Well, from, they did say 2022. Man. I think with us, we keep... it's something that's been continuously said. Is like, oh, Warzone 2 is coming out this year. All the reports this year. And for me, I just keep thinking of like when Modern Warfare released and we got Warzone. That was the next year. It was around March, I think, but it was not in 2019 when the game came out. It was 2020. So I think that's where I'm coming from as I'm thinking about that experience and like, oh, they're just going to do the same thing. But it does make a lot of sense to just very strategically release each game mode one at a time and give your player base enough time to play each mode.
Yeah. Hopefully Warzone 2 picks up where Warzone 1 was actually good, because once they started putting in, Black Ops and Vanguard,
it became... I think they got to get better at integration.
Yeah.
You know it's not going away. I'm pretty sure that integrating into these new Call of Duties, it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah.
No, so see, you got to get better.
I was okay with the idea of the integration, because, like, okay, it gives people cool incentives to stick with Warzone. Like, hey, it's not just going to go away with the next version of Call of Duty comes out. This is going to be our ongoing thing. This is our live service Call of Duty, while you still get main Call of Duty and main multiplayer Call of Duty. I like that idea. But like you said, the integration was terrible, and they do need to get better at it. And I hope this one will get better, especially since we're not getting a Call of Duty next year. So that means Warzone is going to be their big focus for next year.
Yeah. Like I think we said this before. This is their chance, both with Modern Warfare 2 and with Warzone 2, Warzone 2.0, whatever it is, because Black Ops Cold War did very well in terms of sales. Reception-wise, I feel like it was around middle of the pack, especially years after the fact. But Vanguard did not do as well. In terms of just overall sales, yeah, it did fine. It's a Call of Duty game. But in terms of the franchise and all that, I don't think it did as well. So this is, I think, a chance to just... Well, we said this months ago. This is a chance for the whole franchise to be like, okay, we got something here. We're going to hit not a hard reset button, but a little soft reboot. A little soft reset here. Just update a few things. Make sure everything is just cleared. We can get away with the clutter. Get everything back the way it was in 2020 whenever we had, Verdansk.
Yeah. Now, speaking of things that aren't going away anytime soon, Game Pass has been a huge success for Microsoft. We talked about the latest PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium games last week, technically this week. So we thought we'd cover the recently announced games coming to Xbox Game Pass too, along with some games that wouldn't be leaving the service. So, Taylor, how about you tell us what's coming soon or has been recently added?
Sure thing there, Michael. So we have, first up, we have Coffee Talk coming to cloud, console, and PC. That is available now. Next up, we have Midnight Flight Express coming to cloud, console, and PC. Which will be a recurring theme throughout this entire list. And that game is releasing on Game Pass on the 23rd. Next up, Exapunks, coming to simply just PC on August 25th. I don't know what to feel about this next title. Opus Echo of Starsong Full Bloom Edition.
That's a mouthful.
I don't say that five times fast. That is releasing on console and PC on August 25th. Commandos 3 HD Remaster coming to cloud, console, and PC on August 30th. Immortality is coming to cloud PC and Xbox Series X/S. You know, I was about to go into a whole tangent about the series names, and that's a topic for a whole nother show. That's a 30-minute rant for me. But Immortality is coming to cloud PC and Xbox Series X/S on August 30th on Game Pass. And next up, we have Immortals Fenyx Rising, which is a game that was a pretty highly anticipated game, I want to say, a few years back. Coming to cloud, console, and PC on August 30th. And finally, we got Tinykin coming to console and PC on August 30th. And that's all the games that are coming to Game Pass in some form or another. Now, here's a quick list of some games leaving the platform on August 31st. We have Elite Dangerous leaving on cloud and console. We got Hades leaving on cloud, console, and PC. Myst is leaving on cloud, console, and PC as well. NBA 2K22 is leaving on cloud and console. Signs of the Sojourner? Is that how you pronounce that?
Maybe.
Also,
yeah, I've always been bad with names.
So. I know. As soon as I asked you that, I was like, I don't think he's going to give me.
yeah. Sorry.
Signs of the Sojourner is leaving cloud, console, and PC. Next, we have Spiritfarer. Ah, that sucks. Leaving the platform on cloud, console, and PC. Then we have 12 Minutes leaving on cloud, console, and PC. 2 Point Hospital, cloud, console, and PC. What Remains of Edith Finch leaving on cloud, console, and PC. And finally, this was a pretty good big, it was a pretty big game when it was first dropped into service. And that is World War Z will be leaving Game Pass on cloud, console, and PC. And all those games I just listed there, yet again, will be leaving the platform on August 31st.
Okay, so with World War Z, hasn't that been on the platform since like the day Game Pass came out?
Well, it released on Game Pass the day it came out, I believe.
Huh. Wow, that thing's been up there for a hot minute.
I know, that's what's kind of surprising about that.
Yeah, you swear Microsoft owned that game or something.
I'm going to be honest with you, Michael. I kind of think this is a little bit of an L from Microsoft here this month with Game Pass. I think losing World War Z, Spiritfarer especially, it's one of my favorite games ever, and something even like NBA 2K22. It's kind of unfortunate. They're big name games here, man. And what they add to me, and also, oh shit, I've just glossed over this one. They're losing Hades as well.
Hades, yeah.
That was nominated for Game of the Year a few years back.
It has been, but you know, also it's been up there for a while. I think with Game Pass, I think they look at what games aren't really being downloaded and played as much. So like, when it comes down to renewing the contract, having games stay on Game Pass, I think they figure what's good enough to stay on Game Pass and what's run its course. Hades, I can understand running its course a little bit. It's been out for a good minute. NBA 2K22, I kind of see it because it's an annual basketball game. But at the same time, I mean,
2K23 is releasing in, what, a few weeks?
Yeah, but it took like until Madden 22 to come out before EA took away Madden 2019.
Yeah, and they also have EA Play, though, involved.
Yeah, and it's also EA Play, so I guess it follows that same rule. 12 Minutes, I forgot that existed. I did not.
I think everybody else did, too. I agree with you. I think its story really left a lot to be desired for me, personally. Yeah, I think a lot of people felt similar. I mean, you had James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe. And I don't feel like it was I don't feel like they maximized that talent in its story. But I still feel like this is a little bit of an L this month for Game Pass. One thing I do love seeing, maybe some of these games in the August lineup are going to end up being good. I don't know much about a lot of these games. The one thing that sticks out to me, though, is Immortals Fenyx Rising. I've always wanted to try out the game, but it's always been a little too expensive. I didn't want to pay full price for this game. So I
can actually tell you a little bit about Fenyx Rising. Because when I was invited to the Amazon's Luna early access or whatever it was before it was fully released, they had Ubisoft Plus involved. If you had a Ubisoft Plus account, you can use both Luna and Ubisoft Plus and play Ubisoft Plus games on Luna. And so I was like, hey, I'll play Ubisoft Plus for a while. And I will admit, Ubisoft Plus is actually a cool service, because they give you their like premium games, like their gold editions and stuff, like the DLC and all the season passes and crap. So I was like, sure, I'll try it. And of course, Immortals Fenyx Rising was coming out. And I was like, oh, cool. It's Ubisoft's Breath of the Wild. Cool, I'll try it. I am sorry, but Immortals Fenyx Rising, for all the praise it got, is dull and boring. So if you're going to play on Game Pass, lower your expectations. Just go in there like, yeah, this is okay. This is a Ubisoft Breath of the Wild. And, you know, and what makes it so meh is that it leans so hard on the writing, trying to be funny, that it's not funny. And I think that kind of ruined it for me, because like, wow, you guys took all your C&D material from your writing team and was like, yeah, this is good enough. Let's just throw it in there. So many of the jokes land flat. And while some of the characters have some good personality, they don't help carry the game. And the gameplay itself is just so generic by the numbers Ubisoft that honestly, it's not really worth the disc space. But yeah, if you want to give it a shot, go ahead and give it a shot. But just lower your expectations to just being like, yeah, this is playable.
I want to go back real quick before we move on and talk a little bit about Spiritfarer. If you haven't played this game,
I haven't played it.
I highly recommend it. For me personally, I really grew attached to the game overall. Not to get too personal into things, but a lot of its themes and what it deals with took a concept that was like, it's a game that deals with death and stuff like that. And there's something just so, also the way the artwork is and the characters, it's kind of beautiful a little bit. And I thought that was really cool. And it really helped me through a pretty bad time. But if you got the time to play it, it's a very fun game. You'll get immersed in it. It's one of those games to me that was also just calming. It was not intense to where you have to be on the edge of your seat every 5 seconds. But it's one of those games that you can sit down for about 30 minutes, just chill out, play a little bit of it, have some fun with some awesome characters. So if you haven't had a chance to play Spiritfarer yet, check it out before it leaves Game Pass. And I guess that's all I got to say about this topic entirely. Also, World War Z, too, I guess, before that leaves Game Pass. That's kind of the opposite. Spiritfarer. That is the edge of your seat. Let's fucking go, or you're going to get killed by a zombie level of or type of game. And I loved it for that reason as well. It's kind of sad that I don't think it hit the heights that I thought potentially it could hit. But who knows? Maybe it could down the road.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to Coffee Talk. That was a game that I was sort of interested in, but keep forgetting it existed, and I keep seeing it in my
it's on there now.
Yeah, it keeps popping on my suggested games from Steam, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna try it out one day. I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna try it out, and now I kind of don't have an excuse not to try it out. But I didn't even know Elite Dangerous was on Game Pass. All right, so moving on. Marvel Spider-Man may have scrapped a co-op mode. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Thanks to the PC port for Marvel Spider-Man Remastered, Twitter user DNIWeTamp, I'm pretty sure I mispronounced that, but I'm sorry, but that's the way I'm going to say it, found some potentially interesting tidbits in the game files. It seems that at one point in development, Insomniac Games planned for some kind of co-op feature in Marvel Spider-Man. There are lines of codes indicating both a PvP and PvE game mode featuring both Peter Parker and Miles Morales. VGC would later verify all of this as well. So far, both Peter Parker and Miles Morales have had their own solo titles. The upcoming Marvel Spider-Man 2 will probably focus on both Spider-Men, but by all accounts, it appears that Marvel Spider-Man 2 is still a single-player title. I have two questions. First, Taylor, would you have liked to see a multiplayer in Marvel Spider-Man 1? And also, do you think we'll see some form of multiplayer in this franchise's future, either in Spider-Man 2 or beyond?
So, tackling your first question, no. I did not want co-op or a PvP thing in Marvel Spider-Man 1. I just don't think this was a game for it. Marvel Spider-Man 2, we can talk about that here in a bit, but Marvel Spider-Man 1, where you're setting up Peter Parker, you're setting the stage for this new world Insomniac's creating, really also setting a stage for Miles. You're developing his character a bit here. You're trying to figure out how to give him abilities and where you're going to set him up in this franchise. It would have felt really shoehorned in if they somehow gave him abilities in this game and you were like, oh, you beat the game. Now you have this PvE thing where you can, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here, something where like free roam and you could both play as Spider-Man. It would have felt really weird. Whereas I think in Spider-Man 2, and let me know what you think about this, but if there was a mode in Spider-Man 2 that was multiplayer, either PvP challenges or PvE, to where you're just going around on patrol and stuff, or maybe even just the game itself, I'd be down for that. But the first game in the franchise, no.
So I'm okay with Spider-Man not having multiplayer at all, either in the first game, Miles Morales, or this game. I don't think it's necessary. A couch co-op would be kind of fun. It'd be kind of fun to play as Peter and Miles Morales with my nephew. But other than that, I don't really think it's necessary to have a PvP mode. Like, what, am I going to play Scorpion and Doc Ock? Like, I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, well, I think it would have been more like challenges to where who can get through the city the fastest or point A to point B, who can get the most combo points or something like that. I don't know. Something like that. That's what I'm kind of, again, we're basing this off of a few lines of code in the PC files.
Yeah, and it seems like Spider-Man 2 is going to be a little more focused on Peter and Miles working together. So, you know, these kind of things, it always happens. Like, that's obviously a string of code from, like, testing. Like, obviously, they were testing frame rate with two players at the same time. Story-wise, how's it going with Miles Morales joining in?
And who knows where this was in development, either. This could have been something early on to where they thought, we can give Miles his powers midway through the story or something like that. And then at the end of the game, that's what happens, and it would make more sense. I'm just saying, for the product we got, I don't think multiplayer would have fit that game. To whereas in Marvel Spider-Man 2, what they seem to be going with this being Peter's story, but also Miles' story as well, it would fit a lot more if you had a multiplayer element in that game. Especially now that you had also Marvel Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales really flesh out both of their characters and really the world Insomniac made.
All right. I mean, I would still like to have a coach co-op. I don't know about the whole challenges and whatnot. No multiplayer, but the couch co-op would be kind of cool because, again, I would like to play with my nephew. All right. So, our next story. Hogwarts Legacy is appearing at Opening Night Live. Jeff Keighley is continuing to hype up the upcoming GamesCon Opening Night Live event. A few days ago, Keighley revealed that we'll be getting a new look at Hogwarts Legacy during the showcase. We didn't really talk about this on the last episode, but Hogwarts Legacy was recently delayed to February 10th, 2023, which was the second delay. So it's going to be interesting to see what exactly they plan to show at Open Night Live. Taylor, are you excited to see more of Hogwarts Legacy, and were you disappointed with the delay last week?
I am not really interested in this, and it sucks because a lot of Harry Potter fans seem to be pumped about this game. Not a massive Harry Potter fan, so I knew a friend who was really pumped for the game, and he was really bummed by the news. And I was just like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. That game looked fine. It does suck when the game is delayed, but we talk about delays all the time. We are pro-delay on this podcast because it usually leads to a better product for us, I guess. But for me in this case, I didn't really care.
Yeah, okay. So it's going to be a short story because like you, I also didn't really care for it. I wasn't excited for this game when it was first announced. Wasn't excited when they showed off the gameplay.
The gameplay looked fine. It looked good. As for somebody who's not a Harry Potter fan and looking at what they had to show and how in-depth it seemed, it looked really good. And if you are a Harry Potter fan, you're probably really pumped for it. And it sucks you're going to be waiting a few more months to get the game. But again, I think it'll pay off in the long run. The big problem I think is going to be with this game is how everything's going to match up, because multiplayer seems to be a pretty big deal. And those are always, it's a tricky element in video games to get this multiplayer aspect right and building your characters the way you want.
Yeah.
But you want to go ahead and get into our main topic here, man.
Yes. Our main topic also follows up from what we just talked about with Hogwarts Legacy. It deals with opening night live. And today we are going to do our predictions and preview for the showing. Since we're on the subject of opening night live, we kind of want to talk about our excitement for the event last week. But let's talk about some predictions. The event takes place on Tuesday, August 23rd at 2 p.m. Eastern. So next week's show is pretty much going to be a recap of the whole event. Taylor, with that in mind, what are your personal predictions for what you want to see and what you expect to see at the showcase?
All right, so before we get into predictions, I want to get into everything that's confirmed for opening night live 2022. We know it's a 2-hour show, 30 plus games. We'll have a mix of previously announced stuff, new announcements, and new reveals. And it'll be the first in-person opening night live event since 2019. As for games that will be there, we have already talked about Hogwarts Legacy. That will be there. The Expanse of Telltale series, Dying Light 2 Bloody Tides DLC, new gameplay for the Callisto Protocol, Sonic Frontiers, Goat Simulator 3, and Justin Roiland's High on Life game. Those are just a few of the games that are already revealed for the event. As for my predictions, first, I want to get your predictions first. How about that?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm actually not going to make any predictions because...
So you don't want to have fun. That's what I'm hearing.
No, because I want to keep my expectations kind of lowered.
Oh, you can have your expectations low, but this is a pod. Let's get fun with it, man.
It's just with everything that's leaked and looked at, when it comes to GamesCon, I'm not really sure. And of course, I get plenty of emails from developers about GamesCon. They have been sending me stuff like, hey, we're going to be showing this off and that off. A lot of indie stuff. But I'm predicting, and this is going to be a big one, we're going to see Sonic Frontiers.
Yes.
I'm saying it. I'm throwing it out there. I think we're going to see Sonic Frontiers make a showing at the
It's already confirmed. I just said it.
No. I'm talking about like actual gameplay.
Oh, okay.
None of that IGN first teaser crap. I'm talking about like actual legit gameplay.
IGN just took a stray. It's like none of that IGN first crap. By the way, I do want to appreciate IGN first with the Gotham Knights story a few weeks ago that we were talking about. But.
Ooh, yo, yeah. Yeah, but no, I'm talking about we're getting a full-blown Sonic Frontier. Like, we're getting the story trailer. We're going to look at some of the powers. We're going to look at what the plot is going to be. We're not going to get a release window. I don't think we're going to get... I mean, of course, it's going to be like 2023, but I don't think we're going to get like a February, like a summer 2023. I think we're just going to get 2023 in general. I also think we're going to see a big showing from Square Enix with Forspoken. They're really trying to push that game. So I think we're going to see something from that. And man, I want to say there's more going on, but in reality,
As for Hogwarts Legacy, do you think we'll see more gameplay for that?
I don't think there's much more they can show. They already
That gameplay demo they had what months ago. They went pretty in depth for the game. Unless that changed.
I doubt it changed that much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because it really felt like it was, hey, we're ready to go. Here's a big look at the game. I don't know what more they can show. Like how school scheduling works, how you can play Quidditch, show some of the controls. Like I don't really know where else they can go with that. Because honestly, that last in-depth showing that they did, I think that was more than enough to get people excited for the game and wanting to pre-order it.
Maybe a cinematic or another story trailer just to hold people over until that February release date?
Most likely. Let's see what else.
Do you think we need more gameplay for the Callisto Protocol? Because I kind of don't think we do.
To be honest, no. I think the little bit that they've been showing is what gets people interested. It's like you don't know what you're getting into, and I think that's what makes horror games fun.
I think everybody gets the gist of it. And everybody's down for it. I haven't seen many complaints about the Callisto Protocol at all. Every piece of new trailer, every little bits of gameplay that we've gotten have been pretty damn positive. Yeah. I don't think we need a huge gameplay demo for this game. I think everybody's like, okay, so kind of... And I know the developers are probably not thrilled with this game being so strongly compared to Dead Space as it is.
I mean, it has to be because you did get someone who worked on Dead Space. Yes. Was he a co-creator?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, so the comparisons are going to be there. I'm pretty sure that they're not happy about it strongly being compared to Dead Space like it is. Like, no, Callisto Protocol is its own thing. It's special in its own ways.
The re-release or the remake so close. So, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that's one of the things that are helping the game out to where I don't think it needs to really show anything else. And everybody's just down. Like, yeah, fuck it. Let's get this Callisto Protocol thing out. Let's play it. It's awesome.
Yeah. Indie stuff. Okay, I know I shouldn't say this, but I want to. But I think we're going to get our best showing of indie stuff at opening night live. I think Jeff Keighley is really going to push showing off some more indie stuff.
You said that like it was going to be a negative. That was one of the most positive things you've ever said on this podcast.
What?
You were like, we're going to get some really cool indie stuff here on this show.
Are you saying I'm a hater of indie games? Like, that's not true.
Maybe a hater in general. Not necessarily with indie games.
One of my most anticipated games of the year is an indie game called Beacon Pines. And I really, really hope we got a release date for that, which is September 22nd. And that's coming to Game Pass, so do not pass this game up. It's coming to PC and Nintendo Switch on 22nd. I hope that gets a cool showing at Gamescom. I would love to see more of that and see that get more exposure. But let's see. Actually, give me something else that you want to see, because I'm about to go through my email and find one of the games that was already confirmed.
I'll go through my predictions. How about that?
Yeah, you do that.
As for predictions, though, I think we'll see something from Hideo Kojima. Maybe the game he's working on with Xbox. If you remember a few months back,
that reminds me, it was
Phil Spencer saying, and we thought it was a little weird at the time, that it was just, Phil Spencer saying that he's working with Hideo Kojima on a game. But he didn't go into any details on what the game is. There's no trailer for it. And let's be real here. Jeff Keighley and Hideo Kojima are pretty much best friends.
They are. Jeff Keighley loves Hideo Kojima.
Jeff Keighley is Hideo Kojima's number one fan. I am pretty confident in saying that.
And it's like that's not a negative towards Jeff. I have respect for that guy. I've made it known, not only in this podcast, but past podcasts I've been on, that Jeff Keighley is one of the people that got me into video game journalism. And I have great respect for that guy and everything he's done for video games in the point of trying to make them seem like an actual, legit, respectable medium when it comes to award shows, just game shows in general, reviews. He's come a long way since that depressing look that he had with the Halo presentation with Doritos all over him. If anybody remembers that.
I agree, man. And I also think in just terms of, I personally think that he saw, I don't want to say the writing on the wall with E3 not doing as well, but just reading the room and being like, okay, I got to do something else. I can provide this Game Awards show that could be fun. We could have some reveals and we can really celebrate the people who are making these video games and give out some awards. So I got to commend him for all that and what he's done with gaming. I'm with you, man. So while I make fun of him a little bit here, and he definitely is Kojima's number one fan, I respect the hell out of him. He is very hardworking from what I have seen. Oh, yeah, as for my other predictions, though, maybe a brief look at Modern Warfare 2. There seems to be a lot of Modern Warfare 2 and Warzone stuff on the horizon for Infinity Ward that they're going to show off on their own. So I'm not sure how much we'd see, but it feels like a safe bet that we'll see a little bit of something.
I don't think we'll see much because don't forget, next month is supposed to be the Call of Duty Next.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. They're doing their own event anyway. So I think that could still make an appearance. It would be a, hey, we have this little cinematic trailer. Come watch, what is it, Next? It's called Call of Duty Next.
Yeah, so, you think they're going to use that platform to announce their own? So like, hey, don't forget.
They'll show a cinematic and then at the end it'll be like, see more about Warzone 2 and Modern Warfare 2, Call of Duty Next in September. Like you see all the time. And these
the beta coming up soon.
So yeah, you can hype that up too. I can see Modern Warfare 2 making an appearance here. It's not a massive one like other appearances in the past.
All right, so you want to hear one of my big predictions that we'll see?
Go ahead.
Tekken 6.
Really? You think we'll see Tekken?
Yeah, I think we'll get a better look at Tekken 6. Because just a week or so ago, they showed off a new character named Kimberly, who looks really cool. And I really want to see more of that game. So I think they're going to probably use GamesCon. I don't know about opening night. I hope it's opening night. But I think they'll use that as a way to show off a couple more legacy characters. We might see Ken. Let's see, who else?
I also want to point out that it's not Tekken 6, it's Tekken 8.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I was like, man, I'm Tekken, pretty sure there's already Tekken 6.
Street Fighter 6. Oh my goodness. Yeah, because at Evo, we got a pre-rendered look at one simple character for Tekken 8. And I'm sorry, I got Tekken mixed up because they just showed.
So what are you talking about here, man? What are you talking about? Are you talking about Tekken or Street Fighter?
I'm talking about Street Fighter. Street Fighter 6. Okay. Because they just showed off Kimberly, who I think is a really cool looking character. And I think they're going to show off some legacy characters. I think we'll see at least Ken and Cammy at the very least when it comes to legacy characters.
All right. I can see that. I think the last major thing we saw from Street Fighter was at Sony's event a few months back.
No, a couple weeks ago. They released a small trailer with Kimberly, one of the new characters.
As for me, though, I don't think we're going to get any Marvel game news because their event, their showcase, is right around the corner. I don't think they're going to want to waste anything on an opening night live event. I'm not really confident in these last two, but there's got to be something massive closing out this show. What's going to be the big game everybody is talking about coming out of the show? And part of me is thinking maybe this is the God of War Ragnarok gameplay demo that we haven't gotten yet. You remember when God of War got that gameplay demo when it was releasing, and that really got everybody talking? I'm wondering if this is the place where we're going to get it for Ragnarok. Or, yet again, like, what are they going to show? What's going to be the big game that everybody talks about? What was it? I think last year it was Elden Ring.
I think this time around is going to be a game that hasn't been announced before.
So you think it's going to be a new reveal?
Yeah. Because Jeff's already said, like, there's going to be 20 plus games, and almost half of those are going to be unannounced games. So I
think like I said, a mix of things have been announced, things, new reveals. That's what has been said before about this event. 2 hour show. We can, okay, new prediction. How many ads?
Okay, before we get into that, I think one of the big predictions from Software, because they've been talking about how their game is almost completed and how it's getting to the finish line. I think From Software is going to show off their game. So that might be the big one.
Now, here's the thing that's making the rounds around the internet. And I think this is a safe bet for a surprise that's going to be at Gamescom. I think we're finally getting, and don't laugh, because I know you're going to laugh when I say it.
Oh, I just might.
I think we're finally getting Dead Island 2.
Okay, you know what? I would laugh at you, but I'm not, because the day that we started recording this...
That's what I'm saying. It's making its rounds around the internet now, because some stuff potentially got leaked. And it seems like the game might be closer than what people might think. And I'm thinking, what's a huge surprise that they could show at a Gamescom event?
Actual gameplay.
It would certainly be Dead Island 2, and not, yep, you done hit nail on the head. And not just a cinematic trailer, but also gameplay. I still can't believe, what was it, Goat Simulator?
Oh my god.
They
goodness,
had the
yeah.
Dead Island. That is one of the best trailers I've ever seen in my life. They knew full well what they were doing and just trolled everybody. It's fucking great. But yeah, I think Dead Island 2 would be a fantastic surprise. And even if it starts to gain even more traction and people can kind of expect it at this point, that's not a bad thing. I want to see what the game looks like. I'm glad to see that it possibly came back from the dead. No pun intended. So I think that's, for me, a safe prediction.
Yeah, I know I said I didn't have any predictions, and then I come out with a couple of predictions. Because so, at first I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
We're recapping the event next week. This is our time for some fun and reckless speculation, all right?
You know, I think we'll see some Halo stuff there. Let's see, what else? I would like to see Sony make a big splash. I'm like, hey, guess what? Here's VR2, son. That's how it's going to look. Like, we already know what it looked like, but, like, have an actual a trailer for it and be like, it's going to be this much. You're going to get it next year. Like, oh, snaps. Sony just took the show. But I don't think they'll do it for that show.
So when it comes to the big game everybody's talking about, you think it's going to be a newly revealed game? Because Dead Island 2 is revealed and if there's gameplay or anything shown for it, I don't think it's going to hit that level of, for instance, prediction I already had there, like God of War Ragnarok showing gameplay.
If Ragnarok is shown, it's going to take the cake. If Dead Island 2 is shown and Ragnarok isn't, there's a good chance that Dead Island 2 would be the one that everybody talks about. But I still think it's going to be a game that we haven't seen before. And we're going to be like, oh, snaps. I want to play that. And it'd be like 2024.
And you think it could be From Software's new title?
It could be. I'm telling you right now, if it's anything from Software, even if it's just like one of the developers walking down the aisles of their office and saying, hey, we got a new game coming out. Everybody would be like, yeah, that's the biggest announcement we had the whole 2 hours. It's like, Jesus, man.
Yeah. But overall, I think this is going to be a fun show. I can't wait to actually dive into it and talk about it with you. And I think it's going to be a good time, man.
All right. So with that said, that's going to be our show for the day. Before we leave, Taylor, what are you playing?
I am playing, this is going to sound like a broken record, but I'm still playing some Destiny 2. It's still fun. I read a lot about what ARC 3.0 is going to look like as the new subclass or revamp subclass in Destiny 2. Right now there's 4 subclasses. Subclasses, for you, anyone who doesn't know, pretty much is how your grenades work, how your jumping is going to work, how your class ability, whatever that is, depending on what character type you are, and what other side abilities you have. So it's cool to see that Bungie is revamping all these, what were like simplistic trees of skill trees that you could have, into more refined, you make the build how you want it, and here's what it's going to do kind of thing. I'm excited also to see what new subclasses they're going to add to the game after this, because after Arc 3.0, everything else has been revamped. So I'm curious to see if they're just going to start adding new subclasses in and making the builds even more diverse, or what they're going to focus on. The only thing I'm dreading, though, is it seems like the new subclass is going to be very harsh on PvP. As somebody who already sucks at PvP games, it's not going to be fun for me in the Crucible.
Good time. As for me, I've been playing a bunch of preview stuff. Oh my goodness, my time has been filled with it. I have been playing Eternal Return. Oh my goodness, free to play MOBA, battle royale game that is starting its 7th season this week. And I get it, no, not this week, on the 1st. And I get a chance to do a preview of that and play it. I've also been playing My Hero Ultra. Oh my goodness, I can't remember the name, because I always want to say Ultra Smash because that's one of the moves. But I've been playing My Hero Academia free to play upcoming games. And I've also been previewing another game called Brock the Investigator, where you play an investigator who's also a crocodile slash alligator. It's a strange one. Nice. So that's been my time. No real time for personal games. Taylor, what are you working on, and where can we find you?
Pretty much these podcasts here. I am just trying to get some stuff done, and also just trying to see if we can create some more content other than just Power Up in Game and Nerds Talk Movies. We'll see where that goes, but that's pretty much it for me.
As for me, I am still working on preview stuff. I'm playing My Hero Ultra Rumble, the closed beta, on Twitch up until until August 21st. So you can head on over to my Twitch channel and see gameplay of that. And you can find me on Twitter at @M_MOSLEY_JR. If you find a weirdo in the Fox City, congratulations, you're in the right place. And the aforementioned Twitch channel at twitch.tv/FoxDaddy. That's FOXDADDY. And of course, you can find Taylor, myself, Riley, and of course, the team over at Nerds Talk Movies on our Discord. Please come by, join us. Also, leave us a rating. It will help us out tremendously, and we will always appreciate you with more messed up episodes, so where we just go on a tangent about absolutely nothing and absolutely everything at the same time. And of course, you can head over to thenerdstash.com, where you'll find reviews, previews, and helpful guides. Alrighty then. That would be it for us. Taylor, thank you once again for joining me, and for everybody for listening in, whether this is your first time or your 600th time. We truly appreciate you coming by, listening to us ramble. And please, share with your friends, share with your family. Sit them down and make them listen to us. Play us in the background. We're okay with being background noise. Next week is a special episode of Power Up in Game, because it'll be our opening night live recap show, as Taylor mentioned before. Hopefully, it'll be a good one. And we're talking about both opening night live and the podcast. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, thank you so much for listening in. And we will see you next week with more gaming, well, not gaming news, but with more rambles.